This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, good morning, Charlie.
And I'm here and seeing smiling face.
I know, and it's delightful that you came in from Prince Edward County.
I pretty much paddled in.
Well, I tell you.
Hydroplaned.
This morning, about 6 o'clock, I went downstairs to the basement, which is, through the door to the garage to get the car. And as I approached the door, there's water coming through under the door. Not much, but enough that I knew when I open that door, it's not going to be pleasant.
Tsunami.
About 2 inches of snow, or of water,
in the garage.
And I kind of walked very gingerly toward the car and thought, no, I need my big winter boots for this.
Yes. Well,
so I had to go back upstairs. So I've just sent a text to Shirley saying, hey,
don't go downstairs
without, putting the rubber boots on.
And there's ice. You mentioned it's icy
under
the water.
Well, that's the problem. It's, the ground is still frozen, and so it can't absorb all this darn rain.
It's interesting. The ground is sort of frozen.
Yeah.
In some areas more frozen than others.
Yeah.
Because last... I teach at Durham College, and my students, we did a lab, so not yesterday, Friday, but the Thursday and Friday before, so 8 days ago, we actually went out with shovels and we buried underpants under the surface of the soil in Whitby. Yeah, you're looking at me like, why would you do that? But my point was really that the ground was thawed enough that it was really easy digging in the middle of January.
Did you say buried underpants? What?
I knew you were going to catch that
I'm
word.
I'm sorry, but that just kind of flummoxed me. A whole series of pictorial thingies went by my mind.
So the lab is called Soil Your Underpants.
All right.
It's where you take fresh, clean, never been worn cotton underpants and you bury them. And you bury them, about 6 inches under the ground.
All
and then you dig them up. In our case, we'll be digging them up in April at the end of the semester. And of course, what we're hoping to see is that all the cotton will be gone. It will be all chewed up by all the soil organisms and bacteria and microorganisms. That's what we're hoping. But it is winter, so it might not be quite as chewed up as we would like it to be.
You get involved in the darndest thing.
So funny. The students got such a kick out of this.
Well, I guess.
They were all modeling their underpants. They were quite the hit on Instagram.
I'll tell you. There are going to be folks lining up to get into your classes.
I bet.
Too much fun.
Never a dull moment.
I'll tell you what. I better give the phone numbers in the air here because there probably are a few gardeners out there who would love to give you a call.
Probably.
And right now would be a dandy time because there's not one call logged in at the moment. We'll fix that. Okay. Mm-hmm. In Toronto, I want to talk to Charlie Dobbin. By all means, here's the number, 416-360-0740. Then anywhere in the province, it is toll free, 1-866-740-4740. And, our little mantra goes this way. If you call often.
Early.
Call early. Oh, gee.
Either. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. One question per call, basically.
Yeah. And we've had many situations where callers have been able to call twice.
Call back.
Ask two, three questions all in one show.
Exactly. Now, if you're a first-time caller, let Carlos, who is our new op this morning.
In training.
In training, yeah. He's the op in training. Let him know that you're a first-time caller, and when you get to the air, just before you come on the air... You're going to get that. Get your garden wings.
And we love first-time callers.
Exactly.
We make a big fuss.
Yeah. Do you have any...
I do.
Announcements coming up.
One is next week. We have a special guest joining us. Terry Kennedy will be here. And you remember Terry. She's with the Southern Ontario Orchid Society. Exactly. So she will be here on air live with us for the hour of the show. Terry is an absolute expert on all things orchid.
Oh.
So for any of you out there who have some burning issue, you want some real real good information on. Yep. Terry is your woman, and do plan to call next week. Obviously, you're welcome to call anytime, but with her here, it's just a really good opportunity. She'll also be promoting the upcoming orchid show and sale that happens at the Toronto Botanical Garden February 8th and 9th. It's a Saturday, yep. Sunday, 11 to 5. She will be giving away some tickets next week for people that would like free admission, but otherwise it's $12 to get in the door, and it's amazing. It smells so good when you walk in because there's so many fragrant orchids. You don't even realize. There's over 30,000 exotic orchids on display and for sale. Lots of experts at the show and lots of paraphernalia. Like if you need a new pot for your orchid, that's the where you get it. You don't go to Home Depot for an orchid pot. You go to the orchid show for an orchid pot.
There you are. Good, right. Good,
so that's coming up. And a few other things coming up later, sort of February, lots of CD Saturdays and jump on spring events. So get your calendars ready. And as I can, I'll continue to announce.
Very good. And by the way, thank you for not giving me a little kiss this morning. We normally get a little kiss on the cheek there, but she kind of coated the dough.
I know. I sound a little stuffed, don't I?
A little stuffed, yeah. So anyway, you deal with that. And I'll deal with the callers here. Well, we will. I mean, in moments, welcome Hazel from Mississauga. Hang tight there, Mazel. We'll be Hazel.
Mazel, that's Mazel. Good. That's a, what do we call that? We put it all together.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those days, huh? Okay, Hazel on standby here on Zoomer Radio.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Okay, Charlie, let's go to the phone lines. Here is Hazel from Mississauga. Good morning, Hazel.
Good morning. How's everyone today? I know Charlie's a little under the weather, but hopefully that will pass soon.
It will, for sure. What's going on at your place, Hazel?
I have I was given an amaryllis bulb at Christmas time, one that comes in the box. It grew well. Just a stalk, no leaves or anything, but the stalk grew well. I had my four flowers, very nice. They died off, and a second flower stalk has grown up.
Nice.
It's got a little bud on it, so I'm expecting flowers.
Yep.
My question is, do I cut down the old stalk or just leave it to die naturally?
Leave it until it's yellow. For now, as long as it's green, you've removed the dead flowers, I assume.
Yes.
So that's fine, and that's up at the top of the stalk.
Yes.
As long as there's, and whenever there's green left on a plant, particularly in the case of a bulb plant like the amaryllis, you commented there's no leaves yet, so you really have to maintain anything green on the plant, as long as it is green, in order to support photosynthesis, to support the plant continuing to grow. So that flower stalk will turn yellow. It'll take a week or two.
It has started to turn yellow, and with the second stalk, I'm now having leaves.
Good, yep.
I'm getting leaves.
Yeah, so once it's completely yellow, then just with your scissors, remove that flower stalk, the old one, and then let those leaves grow. Let the second flower stalk, enjoy that one. And then you're going to treat that as a houseplant for the rest of the winter and spring. It's going to grow leaves. It's going to be a bit unruly, but at the same time, it's going to be fattening the bulb up to flower for you again next Christmas.
Okay, so then I just put it away after a while or just keep it in?
Well, I keep them growing all through the spring, and then I'll usually put them outside for the summer. If you can put it outside, just let it grow outside. Green leaves, again, an unruly plant, you know, leaves growing all over the place. They tend to be quite big and floppy. Let that happen if you have a spot to be able to let that happen. And then I just tuck the pot with the bulb in it and the green leaves attached into a dark corner, usually in September, certainly before a frost. Tuck it somewhere in the basement, stop watering it, ignore it, forget about it, and just leave it for up to 8 weeks. And at that time, of course, all the green leaves have turned yellow and brown. Pull it out of that dark corner and remove all that debris, sit it in the sunshine again, water it once, and see what happens.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks for joining us, Hazel, here on this rather wet and soggy Saturday.
Yes.
Oh, Frankie is reaching for the bell.
Nice.
Yes, and you know what that means, huh? First time caller coming up. Hey, that's for Harvey. And Harvey, just verify where you are located.
Okay. I live in Port Stanley, Ontario.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Just south of St. Thomas.
Very good.
Sweet.
And my question this morning is, I have a slope at the rear of my property, which is becoming a challenge to mow.
Right.
So last year, my wife and I decided to plant crown vetch seed.
Right.
We went to a farm supply store, and right. we got 5 kilograms of crown vetch seed, mm-hmm. and we properly prepared the area. We scarified the soil and sprinkled the seed on, mm-hmm. covered it with peat moss, topsoil, and compost,
yeah.
and kept it moist. Mm-hmm. But we had zero germination, and the farm supplies company told us that the seed was coated right. For germination. I don't know what they were referring to there, but we had no germination at all whatsoever.
And what time of year did you do this planting of the seed?
This was done, Charlie, in the early morning, early spring.
Oh.
It was planted, and it was kept, the temperatures were not high, and it was kept moist.
And it rained, and it rained, and it rained at that point, too. So the
No, we actually didn't have a lot of rain at that point. I was frequently watering it with a nozzle on the hose.
Yeah, just because that last spring tended to be kind of a cool, wet one. Odd. No germination. So my first thought, if it's a slope, even though, like you said, you did a certain amount of covering with peat moss, et cetera, would be that that the seeds washed down the slope. Did you see any germination at the bottom of the slope, like any growth at all?
Actually, it was planted in amongst existing grasses that are on the slope, Charlie.
Okay, yeah.
So we made sure that it did have good soil contact from neighbors scarifying with the cultivator, but zero germination, and I'm wondering maybe if it was poor seed?
Hard to say. I mean, the crown vetch is a slow seed to germinate. I'm wondering, like, if you planted in the spring, you saw nothing happening all through the summer, basically. Nothing was really growing. Nothing had changed on that slope. Just quickly searching on the web, because I've never grown crown vetch from seed, but a quick little search here says that crown vetch is fairly slow to germinate. So if you're planting at the end of the summer or early fall, allow 10 weeks for establishment before the first hard frost. So often we do our planting of seed at the end of the summer just because the soil is so much warmer in September or August than it was back in April or May. And that will always speed up germination. I'm wondering if it's something like that happened, that the soil was cold, the extended cold spring, that the seed can rot if it is just too cold, and the heat speeds up germination. So a cold situation, the seed stays completely dormant, and it is possible that it could have just rotted in the conditions of low temperature and high moisture. You probably want this established as soon as possible. So it's a bit challenging in the spring, but I would have been thinking, you know, if I was you back maybe last August, to consider reseeding in the fall just as an opportunity to try and grab those moments. And make sure that you are, when you said you scarified the soil, that's great. I assume you scarified across the slope.
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Just to try and keep that seed from washing down. I mean, it sounds like you did everything right. I mean, could all the seed be a bummer seed? I doubt it. Seeds, all the seed suppliers do tests. They do lots of germination tests on seed. Most seeds, you don't get 100%, but they would never put for sale something that had 0%. So I'd say something else more happened environmentally rather than that the seed was bad.
Okay. Well, thank you both for taking my call this morning. I appreciate it.
Well, Harvey, just before you wave bye-bye, you're calling from Port Stanley. Now, my hometown is London, Ontario. And as soon as you said Port Stanley, something popped into my mind as far as a memory is concerned. I was in my teens, and we used to go smelting in Port Stanley.
Smelting?
Yeah, catching smelt.
Oh, smelt.
Yeah, with the nets and so forth. Did you ever do that?
No, Frank, I did not. And unfortunately, the smelt run is no more. I think the species has been fished out of the lake, because we used to get crowds along the beach at dusk, and they would go out into the lake and they would scoop up the smelt.
Yep.
But we don't see that anymore now. Down
well, there. You overfished it, my friend.
I believe so.
Oh, dear.
I'll be darned.
Oh, and here's just while you were talking there, Harvey, also I'm seeing here on the web recommendation that when you're sowing crown vetch seed, that you mix it with annual ryegrass seed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because the annual ryegrass comes up very quickly, so that will germinate much more quickly than the crown vetch, and that will hold, because those little tiny seedlings will help hold the crown vetch seeds until they germinate.
Right.
Okay. So it's very good.
That's just thought as well.
Gee, thanks for joining us, Harvey. Really interesting stuff there.
Yeah, thanks for calling. Don't be a stranger.
Yeah, verifying the lack of smelt now in Port Stanley area.
That's kind of sad.
Isn't that? Yeah, that's too bad. And that, of course, as we wave bye-bye to Harvey, we wave hello to other folks who are calling in. Numbers again in Toronto, 416-360-0740. And then anywhere in the province, toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. And Charlie, we got to take a little break here and give you time to recoup, because, you know, you're working through a cold and all that. That's so tough. Yeah, poor baby.
Thank you for your sympathy.
I'm so sincere. And we'll be back in a moment.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Charlie, let's meet Lorraine, who's on the line from Whitby right now. Good morning, Lorraine.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hi. Hello. Go ahead.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I have a Diplodemia. And it's dropped all its leaves.
Okay.
And kind of drying out.
Right.
Well, I wondered what I do.
Where have you got it located in your house?
Just in the living room.
Okay. And do you have what it needs? It needs as much sunshine as you can possibly give it. So where's your brightest window?
Oh, yes. I do have a big living room window. And I also, in the dining area, I have a bay window.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what I would do is move it in front of a window, the brightest one you have. I would be careful that there's always a vent, that furnace vent around our windows. So just be sure that that vent is not blowing dry, hot air on the plant. If necessary, get yourself a little, what's called a vent deflector. Mm-hmm. It's a Home Depot, Canadian Tire, plastic magnetic item. So get the plant into as much sun as you can. Make sure the plant is not subjected to hot or cold drafts. And then what I would do is I'd feel the soil. If the soil feels wet, do not water it. But I'd get out my pruners and I would prune it probably. How large is the plant right now, roughly?
Well, it must be 2 feet anyway.
Okay.
I've been trimming back the growing ends that are getting scrawny.
Right. So don't worry about the growing ends. I'd give it a harder pruning than that. I'd probably prune it right back to being about 6 inches tall.
Oh, okay.
And only water it when it's dry. Feel the soil before you water.
I see. Okay. Yes, I kind of been doing that.
Okay, good. And make sure that it's in a pot that has drainage holes so that when you do water, it's a thorough watering, but that the plant doesn't sit in water. Because when it's in this kind of in-between winter and spring and doesn't really have any leaves, it's very easy to overwater a plant just to have it rot right there in the pot. So only water when dry, and you should, with the longer days and when the sun comes out, you should start to see some new buds will grow because of the pruning you're going to do.
Yeah, well, we don't get too much sun at this period. But,
no.
You know, you think it needs the light, too.
It does. Just the brightest light you've got, the brightest window with no blinds or shears or anything like that, put it there.
What about a plant light?
The living room, I get the morning sun, and in the afternoon, I get the side bay window.
Right, so your bay window might be preferable just because the afternoon sun does tend to be a bit more intense than the morning sun, but either should work. And, I mean, there are small grow lights in the garden centers. In Whitby, you've got Sheridan Nurseries there up on Taunton Road. They would have a small grow light if you wanted to get something like that, just to increase your light intensity around the plant.
Oh, I see. Yes.
All right.
Okay.
Okay,
well,
good.
Thank you so much.
There you go.
Thanks
There's
for joining
homework.
Us, Lorraine. Okay.
Thanks for calling.
All righty. Bringing a little brightness into the show.
I love that. It's like, what? I do all those things. It's
Yep. Oh, hey, you know what? I'm reaching for that bell again because that's for Sue, first-time caller from St. Catharines. Good morning, Sue.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was, like, this morning I opened the door just to see how cold it was outside, and frankly, I was impressed at how warm it was
true.
Outside.
Uh-huh. It's true.
And I, you know, I thought today was going to be just gushing rain,
mm-hmm.
but I was wondering, can you suggest any seeds, either perennial or annual, that would be, I could go out and put a few in the ground now and I'd get a bit of a head start?
Nice idea, but I wouldn't recommend it. I mean, actually, there mm-hmm. probably are some perennial seeds, but there's no way I would put annual seeds out now.
Yeah. Well, I when I first moved to this house, mm-hmm. the person had bachelor buttons,
mm-hmm.
and they came up really early,
mm-hmm.
and I know he, like, I moved here in November,
right.
so I know he didn't put them in.
No, they reseeded themselves. Bachelor buttons are one of those plants that you plant it once, and then you have it forever.
Yeah.
Forget-me-nots are a bit like that, too.
Oh, yeah.
So if you
would there be any others? Because I like stuff that's easy and uh-huh. that comes back.
That comes back. For planting at this time of year, I would really concentrate on anything that is perennial, just because
mm-hmm.
even though it's mild today and raining, et cetera, we are very likely to still get some winter weather.
Oh, yeah. But still, even if there's snow, it won't affect the
seeds. Well, some annual seeds really would not like. One I've had excellent success with myself that's an annual that comes up from seed every year are alyssum seeds.
Alyssum. White alyssum?
Exactly. Commonly
probably
called sweet.
The blue too, I
sweet alyssum, yeah. Fragrant, very, very great plant as a pollinator supporter. Blooms like crazy all through the summer and right into winter. And whereas, as you point out, the bachelor buttons, the forget-me-nots, those are more spring flowering plants. So, sure, I mean, the garden centers definitely, even like the Home Depot's Canadian Tires, they will have seeds now. They should have started receiving seeds first week of January.
Okay.
So browse those racks. See what grabs you. Don't put anything out that's tender. Like, don't put out, you know, something like carrots or, you know, tomatoes. That
mm-hmm.
that won't work. But there are some hardy perennials or biennials you could potentially seed
yeah.
now.
I actually have, like, sweet peas.
Oh, yeah.
I've got some out front that were just sort of, I got the seeds out of the wild.
Uh-huh.
But I was wondering, would the sweet peas you buy in the store sort of still be green at this time of year?
Still be green, you mean would they grow?
They still have green leaves on them. Like St. Catharines is very warm.
I know. You are in the
yeah.
banana belt. I know
yeah.
that. It's true. Speaking of which, you should get yourself a banana plant.
I'm not that ambitious. A banana plant wouldn't last here.
No. Well, you'd be surprised. Yeah. There's some hardy bananas that have been known
yeah.
to survive. But no, you're absolutely right. You do have extremely mild and mild winters and
garden
early
city.
Springs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. They'll call it Garden City for nothing. So
yeah.
Broadway Gardens, does that still exist? Broadway.
I don't know.
That was a great garden
mm-hmm.
center. Excellent people
yep.
work there. There's a thought. Just instead of going to a Home Depot and sort of being all alone, just
mm-hmm.
look for a local garden center where there's some talented, you know, resourceful, smart staff and
yeah.
ask their advice for what they've got. Because you want to get some color in your life and you can. You are in St. Catharines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All
well,
right.
I just, it's so nice to hear a garden show at this time of year.
Well, that's
true.
Great. Thank you very much, Sue.
You're welcome.
For joining us.
We're all salivating. We're just
yeah.
thinking about what's coming. You know, the days have definitely gotten longer. I'm certainly enjoying that.
Well, as we say goodbye to Sue, let me remind you that we have lines open right now. 416-360-0740 in Toronto. And then anywhere in the province, it's toll free. 1-866-740-4740. And we're going to go international now.
Okay.
And it's a first time caller from Buffalo.
Nice.
Hey, Henry, welcome aboard.
Yes, hi. How are you doing today?
Good.
Excellent.
I took your number down a couple weeks ago, and I keep writing it incorrectly, so I can never get through. Isn't that funny?
Well, you're through now.
Yeah, you got through this time.
Yeah, I finally got
welcome.
Through. Okay, I got two questions, but maybe one question can go for next week.
Yeah,
or later this week.
How do you maintain blueberries? That might be next week's question. Plant them and maintain them right. Okay. You got to put certain kinds of things in the soil.
Correct.
To keep them good.
Very specific, yep.
I had some blueberries bushes years ago, and they ended up dying on me. So I got some new ones, and I just wanted to know, down the road, how good or how bad they're going to be.
Well, did you buy those blueberry bushes already?
I put them in, and I had to put two or three different types of soils in the bushes.
Okay, that's good. I mean, as long as it was the right soil. The main thing to understand about blueberries is they are what we call an acid-loving plant.
I see.
So if it's an acid-loving plant, it means it was soil with a low pH. An acidic soil is a soil, preferably for blueberries, it's down around a pH of 5.5.
I see.
Neutral is 7.
I see.
And certainly in Ontario, and I wouldn't be surprised if you where you live are part of the same kind of soil basis we are, is our soils tend to be limestone-based soils because there's so much lime naturally here. So our soils tend to be on the basic side. So they tend to be much closer to neutral or even a little bit above neutral.
Yeah,
but blueberries
want
low. I remember
the lady, she gave me two different bags of soil to put in there.
Okay, good. And probably
and I got three bushes.
And was one of those bags of soil maybe peat moss?
One was white. And one had actually vitamins for it.
Oh, okay.
To break the soil up, one was white and the other one was some kind of some type of fertilizer. It wasn't exactly peat moss. Plant food, I guess it was.
Okay.
Some kind of plant food.
So what I would do, I wouldn't rush into doing any feeding. When I first plant plants, I don't typically like to feed them a lot of fertilizer.
Oh.
Instead, I want to give them a really, really nice planting location. Pick the spot where dappled sun, dappled shade for blueberries.
Oh.
So not too much sun. They'll just burn in the sun, but not pure shade either. So nice kind of half-day sun, half-day shade. And then supplement the soil with whatever amendments are available, peat moss being an obvious one, pine needles can be very effective, just various and sundry organic materials that will lower your pH.
Oh.
And then maybe one of the things that was sold to you is something called soil acidifier.
Oh.
It is sulfur. It could be soil acidifier, it could be aluminum sulfate, but either way, it's a white powder that if follow the directions you use.
I think that's the stuff I have.
Yeah, use that to lower your pH, but you have to stay on top of it. The pH will not stay low forever. You have to continue to do that about three times probably through the growing season. So spring, summer,
I got another question for next week if you want to answer
I'll tell you what.
Next week.
Henry, just a second. I'll tell you what, Henry. Hold on a second. We do accept another call from you, this show.
Yeah.
So, although it's the little mantra is one question per call, if you want to kind of hang up and then call right back, we'll try and get you on the second time. Is that okay?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe they could hit that question next week.
Okay, whatever
we're
you
here.
Like.
We're definitely here.
We're
call
here, my friend.
Anytime you want.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling.
All right, all the best to our friend there in Buffalo, Henry.
Okay, but just before we go, because I think you're going to say we need to go to a break.
Yep, we do.
I just want to share this with you, because this is really, really sweet. One of our listeners, MJ Harnack, sent an email, and it's a screenshot of the VZs catalog. So VZ is V-E-S-E-Y-S. VZs is mostly a seed supplier, but they also do a lot of seed accessories. So it was kind of cute. This screenshot shows something called Plant Well, a set of three. So brand new. The Plant Well, it's an innovative device for feeding water and nutrients into the center of your flower baskets, pots, and containers. It promotes root growth. It does all these various and wonderful things. It's a clever device. Just wonderful, wonderful. Easy to use and easy to reuse, all for only $14.95. But of course, MJ Harnack's point was, this looks like a fancy version of Warner's DIY tomato plant bottle, tomato fertilizer bottle. Because remember, Warner and his upside down water bottles at the tomatoes and his skim milk
powder. $14.95.
No, exactly. It's very, very. So if you're listening, Plantwell has gone and done something there. You might want to get a patent going on your idea before these people take over your incredibly good idea.
All righty. We're coming up with more here on The Garden Show. Lots of lines open, or should I say filled right now. We'll be back to them in moments. The Garden Show on the air from Zoomer Radio.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, you know, a trip to Niagara Falls is always nice.
Particularly after we were just in St. Catharines.
Exactly. Let's just jump on the QEW and get to the Niagara Falls. There's Elaine. Hey, Elaine, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. This is my second call to you people, and I called last week.
Good stuff. Welcome back.
This week when I called you, I did a funny thing last summer, spring, and I took all my clevia bulbs in pots outside.
Okay.
All right.
And the sun made the leaves all go funny. They got sunburned.
Yeah.
So I ended up having to cut all these leaves down as much as I could.
Mm.
So I left them out for the summer. I brought them back in, and they look fairly good. Now, I guess my question is, will I have a problem when the ball, if getting a ball, a flower ball?
Oh, you shouldn't. No, okay. As long as sunburn happens when we don't, it's called hardening off, when we gently take plants outside into the real world and try and avoid stress and burning and all kinds of things. So when the leaves get sunburned, they turn yellow and crispy, and as you did, you remove those leaves. New leaves grow.
Okay.
The main thing with clivia is you want it in a bright window. It doesn't have to be a southern window, but it loves east or it loves west.
I've got east, south, west.
Oh, perfect. So bright.
And that wonderful temperature. I've had them at least 10 years and they keep multiplying and I keep giving them away.
Okay. And don't be too quick to repot them. Clivia wants to be very much what would look like it's very root bound.
Yeah.
So we never ever take a clivia out of the pot and give it a bigger pot unless it's literally growing out of the pot. Like
What do I do when they're having all these babies?
Just leave the babies in there. Let that just be a full pot.
Wonderful. Cause I have kind of been dividing them up. But that's a nice thing for you to tell me.
Yeah,
it's
less work for you and more opportunity for flowering because they will respond to that crowding that will happen by flowering.
Oh, that's nice to know.
And also fertilize. It is time where at that point, days are getting longer. So pull out your all-purpose or your flowering plant fertilizer, follow the instructions, and do start fertilizing about once a month. You should have lots of flowers by June or July, I'd say, if you do that.
I've been lucky. Every time they start blooming, it's Easter time.
Oh, nice. Perfect.
So, you know, and of course,
cheerful.
When you go from amaryllis at Christmas to these, like nobody knows what these are. Every time they see them, they're shocked.
They're quite beautiful. And the flowers last long.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're right. I'm trying to think when mine bloomed last year. It would have been, you're right around Easter or post, just that sort of mid-late spring. And, lovely plants.
I can't thank you enough for all your kind information. And if I got another problem, I'll call you.
You do that.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
Really, from Niagara Falls. Very happy-sounding lady.
No kidding.
You betcha. Now, I'll bet you in Hockley Valley, there's a lady named Maureen who was a first-time caller. And she's on the line right now. Good morning, Maureen.
Hello, how are you?
Good morning.
Great, thanks.
Good morning. I have a question about a clematis plant.
Uh-huh.
I guess it's Jacamani or whatever.
Yep.
Mine are always so skinny and spindly and hardly any flowers. And I see other people's and they're big and bushy and loaded with flowers. What am I doing wrong?
So is it possible that yours is not getting much sun?
Tons of sun.
Okay, maybe.
Tons.
So here's the deal. In the spring, when the birds are starting to sing and the buds are starting to swell and it's still early spring, nothing's really green yet, keep an eye on your clematis. At some point, it's going to get some little buds on those stems that look like little mouse ears. They're little furry buds, very sweet. As soon as you see those, you're going to get out your pruners and you're going to prune the entire plant down to being 4 to 6 inches tall.
Wow.
The whole thing. Okay.
The whole thing. Everything you cut off goes in the composter. And when you're doing this pruning, I will recommend be gentle with what you're leaving behind because clematis is quite brittle.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to be careful to not do any sort of damage to what stays behind. You can, you know, chop out what you're chopping out, get rid of all that, and let that clematis grow. Now, we always say clematis like their roots in the shade and their head in the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's a super sunny location and the plant is growing up into a very lots of sun, that's great. But make
I've
sure
I've got
that,
a big salvia planted in front of it. Is that enough?
Perfect. Yep. No, that's exactly what you need.
Okay.
And
I don't need the rock in front of it like people say.
No, I wouldn't do any of that. And I don't usually worry too much about a lot of fertilizer, but do amend your soil either with compost compost or manure, just any kind
of... I do leaf compost.
Excellent, in the fall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
So should I be cutting that every year like you were just saying?
Every spring. And what will happen, instead of having two or three little spindly canes, you'll have six or 12. And the next year you're going to have 24 or 48. Like it just
That's what I want.
Exponentially will get thicker and fatter and juicier and way more flowers by cutting it down every spring.
Wow.
Okay. Awesome. That's what I need to know.
All right.
Thanks so much.
Good luck with that.
Thanks for joining us, Maureen. And there's another Maureen out there who is waiting online from North York. We'll get to momentarily. We have to take another little break here, Charlie. And we'll be back. Here is The Garden Show on Zoomer Radio.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Charlie, let's head back to those phone lines because Maureen in North York is awaiting. Hi, Maureen.
Oh, good morning, Charlie. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning.
I'm calling because I'm having gardening withdrawal.
I know the feeling.
And so I got new windows, and they have nice wide windowsills, and I thought I'd try for the first time to grow a couple of annuals from seed.
Okie doke.
And I'd like advice on which ones are the... Or, you know, which one would work best? What ones work best by starting them inside?
And you're referring to flowers, or are you thinking of herbs?
Oh,
or
no,
flowers only. Okay, so here's some really easy... So you've got wide windowsills, and these face what direction? Like,
I have my kitchen windows faced west, and my living room windows faced east.
Oh, okay. So I know this is what happens. Gardening withdrawal, we want to get those, we want to get going, right? And you're calling from North York. So what I would do, the thing is, if you plant, just coming to mind quickly, something like nasturtium. Nasturtium seeds, very available, very easy to grow, would love that western location, and could be planted today and would probably be flowering in about 3 or 4 weeks, right in your house. But,
oh, fantastic.
But it is only January. So you would find that by the time you can get them outside when we're frost free, that's, you know, February, March, April, might be three plus months from now, they would be pretty scraggly plants. Because even though you got lots of sun on that windowsill now, it's still not as much sun as what the plants will get outside and what they really want. So, there's that thought, something like nasturtium. Marigolds are very easy to grow from seed and would love that western location as well. Sweet pea annual little vining plants. Any of these will grow quite quickly and will give you flowers, should give you flowers, in the next month or so. Some of them grow very quickly and, brighten up your day. But where's my piece of paper? What you should put on your calendar. Let me see if I can find it. Excuse me. You're in North York. So are you familiar with Toronto Botanical Gardens?
Yes, I am.
Leslie and Lawrence.
Yes, I am. So wonderful place.
Saturday.
I'm not going there.
No, because I was going to say Saturday, February 22nd. So that's still a few weeks from now, next month. Big event called Get the Jump on Spring, and it's also CD Saturday. So on that day, Saturday, February 22nd, at the Toronto Botanical Gardens, there'll be seed swaps, there'll be lots of seed experts, there'll be, you know, lots of sort of cool things going on, and lots of frustrated gardeners like yourself who just want to talk gardening and want to get advice and want to smell flowers and sort of get geared up for the coming season. So if you can go, I'd recommend it.
Thank you very much, Charlie.
Thanks so much for calling.
You're welcome. Okay. We have a caller online. Initially, it was written down as St. Catharines that Jenny was calling from, but just has been changed to Meryton.
I've never heard of Meryton.
Meryton is it used to be a suburb, basically, of St. Catharines, but folks in Meryton say, no, St. Catharines is a suburb of Meryton. But anyway, Jenny, welcome to the show.
Hi, Frank. How are you?
Hi, Charlie. Thank you.
Hi, good morning.
Okay, long time no speak to. I'll tell you about something I noticed about 4 weeks ago. I was at a supply store. My son's a roofer. Uh-huh. I'm looking at this bush, and I realize we had a warm spell right around Christmas time.
Right.
There's green branches. Mm. So I get to the truck and goes over and cuts four or five of them off, brought them home, stuck them in the water, and I've got forsythias in my kitchen window.
Beautiful.
And my son found a planter with a trellis in it, and somebody moved, and it's sitting on the side of the road.
Okay.
So he brings it back home, and he says, "Oh, Mom, look at the cool pot." And he goes, "Oh, look, there's buds." Sure as heck, I stuck it in water, and I don't know what this bush is, but I've got about 35 or 40 little leaflets growing on it. And the funny thing is, they almost look like a spider, but then another one shoots out and looks like two hearts.
Oh.
Put together with a bud.
Okay, that was all in the pot that your son found at the end of the driveway?
Yeah.
Huh.
He brought it to me about 3 weeks ago, but something had snapped it off.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I just took that
That's
greenery
great.
And
yeah.
stuck it in a pop bottle full of water with
yeah.
some stones in it.
Yeah.
And now it's growing.
So hard to say. You could, if you wish, you could take a photograph and email it to me. I'd be happy to take a look at what might be growing there. And why not? I mean, you being where you are, you know, it's warm, mm-hmm. it's gentle. You could be, you know, gardening a month before we will be here in Toronto.
Oh, I always start my plants. I've always started tomatoes and peppers.
That's
Last
great.
Year I put in potatoes. I had eyes growing. And I just threw them
yeah,
in the ground,
yeah.
covered them. And
great.
I got about 13 plants, like a half a bushel of potatoes.
You sound like a real natural.
Oh, I grew up out in Iron Lake on the farm. I actually met Charlie when I worked, or Frankie when I worked at Hallett's years ago.
That's right.
Oh, interesting.
As soon as I saw Meriton, you know whose name came to mind? And you'll remember this person, Trapper Len Leo.
Oh, Trapper Leo.
Remember
yeah.
Trapper? Oh, this guy used
Trapper
to.
In his, and,
yeah.
The champ.
That's right. Terry Hallett.
And you introduced me to Diane.
Yeah.
And I was nursing. I was pregnant at the same time she was, I think, with Toby.
Oh, oh for gosh sakes.
Because
yeah.
I was like dumbfounded, like a teenager, when Champ says, "Oh, come here, I want you to meet somebody." And I walked around the corner and I almost dropped my tray.
Yeah.
I had to pick my chin up off the floor. And
the
it was,
famous Diane yeah. and Frank.
Yeah.
A long nice. Time ago, yeah.
Oh,
I'm
gosh.
Going back. Oh,
okay.
God. Kimberly's 34.
Wow.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
She just had her
yeah.
own
yeah.
first baby, so
huh.
I was pregnant with Kimberly, I think, when Diane was expecting your son.
It's a pleasure to retouch bases,
yeah.
Jenny. Thank you so much, too, for calling.
And
we've got to run here. We're running out of time.
Okay. I love that thought, though, of forsythia. So
yep.
anybody who's got forsythia
yep.
shrubs on their property could go out today,
right.
better when it's dry, cut a few branches, bring them inside, stick them in a vase of water, and have blooming shrubbery, blooming branches in your house just to cheer you up on a gray day like
Absolutely.
Today.
Absolutely.
Thank you,
hey,
Frank.
It's been fun. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's been fun to be back.
Yes.
Not that I was that far away, but
well,
still.
Well, and good luck getting rid of that cold.
Yes, I'm sure I'll sound way better next week. So
okay.
thank you, Duncan, brand new helper there. Carlos did a great job. So
mm-hmm.
thanks to both of you and the great callers. We could never do a show like this without all these like first-time callers.
Yeah.
Record-breaking how many people got off the couch and called us today. So
exactly.
thanks for that. See you all again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.